Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. To get involved, email techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW. This is episode 113 for Wednesday, October 19th, 2011. Find My Wife.
This is Aaron.
And Rodney. And this is Tech Access Weekly yet again. Yay. Always like switching that up on you.
Yeah, that's fun, all right.
We rehearse it right at the beginning and then all of a sudden...
switch it up.
Eh?
Yep. He just says the episode name and just sits there.
I was doing a dramatic pause.
Oh, yeah, well, there's not a whole lot of time to pause.
Well, there's enough for a second.
Maybe.
I was trying to collect my thoughts. And uh-huh. You just stepped right all over it, just like always.
Just like always. That's what wives are supposed to do.
Yeah, I know. That should be in the handbook.
Yeah, when you're married, you don't get a handbook, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Doesn't come with one.
I know what they mean by school of hard knocks.
Whew. Love you, too. So, we are here with some stories. We hopefully will not ramble for long, 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 long periods of time like we have been.
Yes, very much so. I will try and keep it in check.
Note the word hopefully.
Try not to use adverbs.
First, we have some listener mail. A couple things. Bill Holden. We were talking with him about the Downcast Podcatcher app for the iPhone and how cool that was. And he actually did find it and used it and thought it was great. And he gave us the name of an app that I may do as a daily tip if I can get it downloaded and installed. And so, Bill, we thank you for that. Really do appreciate it. The app is called Grocery Pal. I have Grocery IQ, which gives coupons. I think Grocery Pal is more like creating grocery lists.
Yeah, he said it was good because it will actually give you an idea of what's on particular aisles of the store.
Mm-hmm.
If your store is actually located on that.
That's a good idea. Cool. Because with apps like ZipList and those where you can create grocery lists, you have to actually build your store.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like a preset list of stores, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of build it yourself and say, well, this is on the dairy aisle. And the dairy aisle is located next to the meat aisle or whatever. So that would be really cool if I can download it and look at it. So we thank Bill for that. And as usual, thank Brian Watson for submitting one or two tips. Unfortunately, I did not have the time to look at them for today's podcast, but may look at them for next week.
Yeah, we're slackers, pretty much. Yeah, I'm kind of amazed, though, that we really didn't get any comments on our ghetto segment from last week.
Yeah, I was thinking that we would. Not necessarily hoping, but I was thinking that we probably would.
I could go on another rant today.
I could, but I'm not going to. I think I did most of my ranting off air, so to speak, but, you know, we will leave it alone now. And for those of you who don't know and didn't listen to the last episode...
head on over to techaccessweekly.com to get
episode 112.
That will actually be interesting.
Yeah, it was also, for us, a fairly long episode.
Quite.
I think it was our longest ever.
Yeah, there was a lot of information in that there podcast.
Yes. All right, moving right along, we are going to do our usual dip into the security pool.
But before we do, we are going to do a follow-up on a story we talked about in a previous episode.
Absolutely.
That you hopefully heard about, which was actually one of our What Were You Thinking
segments. It was in episode 112, and we talked about, well, this is a build, because in 111 we had the five weirdest things people are now stealing.
Yes.
In 112 we had these dudes stole a bridge. A metal bridge.
Yeah, and we also had the cars being stolen were more popular than actually...
than drug theft.
Yeah.
Drug trade.
Drug trade and secured...
Identity theft was more profitable than car theft and the drug trade.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, today, they know who stole the bridge. There is a further update on our bridge story.
Benjamin Jones and Alexander Jones, aged 24 and 25 respectively,
took a blowtorch to this stupid bridge and broke it apart and took it away.
Now, the kicker to this is it's a haunted bridge.
Yes. It's in a rural area. Like we said, it was used for transport of goods, primarily for this company. But locals in the area say that the bridge has been haunted by a girl who had gotten killed on her way to prom some years ago. And locals are worried that she's going to be very confused when she glides along the bridge in her prom dress on prom night.
And finds out that there's no Covert County Crossing Bridge. Or in New Beaver Township of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I said it was New Castle last week, but it was really New Beaver. Yeah.
Yeah, it's New Beaver, it's North Beaver Township of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it's the Covert's Crossing Bridge. No. We'll get this right before
Or it was the Covert's Crossing Bridge.
Yeah, it was. Why is it that all of these places seem to have the same mythical story?
I don't know.
Girl killed, going to prom, going to her wedding, going to something, and
if you think
she
about
haunts
it,
the streets.
Yeah, if you think about it, a lot of this a lot of these things happen in small towns. These mythical things crop up in small town settings.
The urban legends, as it were.
Urban legends it is.
Now we will head over into our regularly scheduled program with some security news.
Yes.
And before you feel like this is a flashback.
Flashback.
So that you don't think that you're flashing back in time, there is a new variant to the flashback OS X virus. It is variant C has now come out. And this is a little bit of a continuation. The first one would install itself looking like an Adobe Flash Player install, and it would attach itself to a lot of your program files. Version B would attach itself to a lot of system files. This version will do the same things as A and B, but it will actually decrypt the path and uninstall XProtect, which is the malware detection system put in place by Apple. It will overwrite the XProtect files and keys, thus allowing no updates to be installed.
Oops.
So if you are planning to do any installations of Flash or such, you need to go to a reputable website, either something like download.com or go to adobe.com in order to get that installed. Don't do it if your webpage prompts you.
No.
That might be the best thing to do. In other things, there is a data-stealing botnet that is very similar to the Stuxnet that you may have heard that is basically looking for a particular, I guess, is Siemens SCADA. It's like a controlling panel for nuclear reactors. I think its main target is Iran or something.
Yeah, this is similar in that it's going on to computers that are in the same industry graph, I guess, as that provide components for nuclear bombs or designs for nuclear weapons or any high-tech weaponry. And it's getting on those computers and looking through design documentation and stealing it.
Yeah, it's doing more of the intellectual property theft.
Yeah.
You know, and it's called Dooku,
D-U-Q-U.
And it also installs key loggers and the such, tries to send documents back to a remote server as well.
And they say a lot of the code is based on the code that was in that Stuxnet worm a few years ago. But as yet, it has only been detected on certain high-tech industry machines. And oddly enough, I think mostly in Europe.
Yeah.
But no word as to exactly which industries, which companies, and where in Europe at this point.
Yeah, and they believe that it may have actually reared its head the first time in December of 2010. So sometime last year, but it was just recently detected by Symantec and I believe the Sophos Corporation that does security.
Mm-hmm.
In other things, gaming consoles. You've heard of
the PlayStation
3. Having issues with their networks. Well, now Xbox Live is having a little bit of an issue. Microsoft is saying that they have had calls with users complaining that their accounts have been hacked and they cannot get in. And supposedly, FIFA 11
and 12
have been the culprits.
Well, it appears that these attacks proceed in a regular way. The hacker uses either a person's credit card information or whatever Xbox Live points they have earned and purchases either FIFA 2011 or FIFA 2012 and plays them on the Xbox.
Yeah, that's a soccer game.
To. Yes.
Or football, as you people over in the old country call it.
Yeah, and so pretends to play it on their Xbox. And people find out about this when they get these confirmation emails in their inbox saying, thank you for purchasing this game and, you know, all this. And they're like, I didn't do anything. So Microsoft, after initially saying this was an isolated incident, has now kind of opened the umbrella a little bit and said it is happening in a few cases. Certain Xbox customers are differing with the few.
Yeah, they haven't seen any widespread outbreak. They do not believe that their systems have been compromised. They think it's probably a little bit of a social engineering thing, possibly. Yeah. But more to come on that, possibly. But PlayStation people and Sony are probably going, hee, see, happened to you too.
Yeah, and speaking about Microsoft, they're having good luck with their spam filtering.
Yeah, their system that they use to get rid of spam on the enterprise side of things basically found that in 2010, they had about 89 billion spam messages that they repelled. In 2011, they've only repelled about 25 billion up through mid-year, say July or August of this year, which mm-hmm. is a considerable drop.
Quite.
And a lot of them were not pharmaceuticals also. So maybe there is actually a decrease in what kind of spam is going around. So maybe
possibly
there's not a lot of profit in that.
One other thing is that two big spam botnets were taken down this year. I forget the names of them, but there were two very prolific botnet, whatever you call
them.
Yeah,
I can't remember what their names
and
were.
And they weren't anything pronounceable. But anyway, they were taken down this year, and so they're theorizing that that might have something to do with why there seemed to be fewer spam going around.
Yeah, so anything is a good thing mm-hmm. when you can get rid of spam.
More fake apps.
Yeah.
More fake apps. Poor Android users.
Android's
poor Netflix.
Getting a little, yeah, Android's getting a little bit of a slap in the face because everybody complains about Apple being closed garden. Well, Android is not really a closed garden, and now there is a phony Netflix app rotating around that
Whoopsie.
Will steal data so that hackers can log into your account. Now, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a deal because even though they get your messages, get your login and your password, it doesn't mean that they can get your credit card information because Netflix only shows the last four digits. Granted, that last four digits is pretty much the most,
the
important,
most important
four digits.
Part. Yeah.
Although you really do need characters 5 and 6 at the end also. You need the last 6 digits in order to really do anything once you figure out what the card is. Which I guess it probably shows a picture of the card as to whether it's a MasterCard or a Visa. So you kind of get that part. So yeah, you want to be careful when installing the Netflix app. You would either want to go to a marketplace known for these apps or
well,
not
basically,
download it from some mysterious place
yeah,
like
go to
Bob's.
Go to the marketplace.
Yeah, don't go to Bob's Netflix.
No, download it from some reputable source, just like the Adobe Flash.
I wonder if Netflix will hang on to Quixtar and then so that nobody can say, oh, it's a new app called Quixtar.
I doubt it.
Anyway. In iOS 5 news...
Bad Siri.
There is a bad Siri problem, which, I mean, it's not that big of a deal because it's kind of the same thing as happened with the iOS 4 release and iPhone 4.
Yeah, in iPhone 4 and iOS 4, the voice command controls were expanded. And one little fluke that not a lot of people knew about, I don't think, was that if your phone was locked and passcoded, someone could still get in there and call people in your contacts list or send email to them. Apparently, you could still do the same thing with Siri on the iPhone 4S.
Yeah, Siri will allow you to send text messages and make calls when the phone is locked and has a key code. So you will want to probably disable this if you are using a passcode on your phone, which most people probably should do if you're think you might accidentally lose your phone.
You
can go under settings, general, passcode lock, and you can actually say Siri off.
Yeah, and that will disable Siri from popping up, which means, of course, that you have to unlock your phone in order to do these tasks.
But I think you would probably want
that.
Yeah,
I think so.
Instead of, hey, go and buy something or schedule this. Or
well, I think there are limitations on what it could and could not do. Yeah, I was reading the article and it didn't, you couldn't just email anybody. It would only, I think, email people in your contacts list or message any people in your contacts list. I think it was pretty much restricted to that. But I could be wrong. But
you could still send a hateful text message to someone.
That's very true. But, I mean, it could still look at your calendar. You could still, people could still potentially look at your life, you know, your calendar events and stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if it was limited. I didn't see anything saying that it was limited to your thing, so I guess you could technically send President Obama a text message or something.
That's funny.
You
maybe
got big ears, man.
On another note, Siri, someone at Wolfram Alpha has a very funny sense of humor. Basically, Siri uses Wolfram Alpha to get answers to questions. And some of the questions you can ask it are a little bit interesting. Leo Laporte was having fun with this on Twit TV last week. He asked it, what did he ask it? Where do I hide a body?
Yeah, there's one where you say, I need to hide a body or I want to hide a body, and it'll say, do you want a quarry or a cave and warehouse and that kind of thing? Or there were some risque ones, you know.
You know, tell it you're horny, and it will say, would you like the nearest escort service? You know.
Yeah, or will you marry me? And then she'll say,
let's not give
not
too many
of
them
my
away.
License agreement.
Let's not give too many of them away, because someone has written a song with a lot of these questions in it.
Oh, crap.
And I don't know if it's Jonathan Colton, but she references someone named Jonathan in here. Hmm. So maybe it is him. In any event, don't worry if you've never heard Siri before. It really does not sound this bad. They just distorted the voice a little bit for the effect. So I'm going to play the Siri song. Hey, Siri.
Hey Siri, do you love me?
How can I tell?
You just know.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Everything's okay.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Hey Siri, you're very beautiful.
Thanks. Can we get back to work
your
now?
Lips. Beautiful.
I don't really like these arbitrary categories.
Okay, will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Will you please marry me?
I'm not capable of love.
I love you.
My end user licensing agreement does not cover marriage.
I love you.
You say that to all the virtual assistants.
I love you.
Can we get back to work now?
Okay.
Everything's okay.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
What's the meaning of life?
42.
Can you sing?
Daisy, give me your answer too.
You are sexy.
If you insist.
Why are we here?
Good question.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Hey Siri, what do you look like?
In a cloud. No one cares what you look like.
You're cute.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop.
Hey Siri, who's your daddy?
You are. Can we get back to work now?
Knock, knock.
Jonathan, I don't do knock-knock jokes.
Okay.
I'm okay if you're okay.
Okay.
42.
Okay.
Stop.
Will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Siri, will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Siri, will you marry
me? I'm not capable
marry
of love.
Me.
I'm not allowed to.
Okay, okay. Siri.
Lord have mercy.
Okay, somebody's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah.
And evidently he had his name programmed in as Jonathan on his phone.
Yes, evidently
I think Leo
so.
Laporte has his call him Gorgeous.
Gorgeous?
Yeah, because you can put whatever you want as your
name. Well, maybe his name is Jonathan. Who knows?
Maybe.
But anyway, what's the meaning of life? 42. my user license agreement does not cover marriage.
Yeah, you tweeted that one, and that got a huge amount of tweets yesterday.
I know, Boxcar just kept going crazy. Yes, we're still using Boxcar for our tweets. Anyway.
I guess people are trying to get away from Boxcar, well, now that Twitter's integrated.
Now that there's deep Twitter integration with the iPhone, with iOS 5, they're trying to get away from using Boxcar. And some people just use Boxcar for Twitter, and that may be an option for them.
Yeah, in the official Twitter app, I didn't see under the settings where you could actually set private time.
Well,
I know you can do it on the website for like text messages and things, but I don't know if that covers the app itself.
I don't remember. It seems like when I set it up a long time ago, I got the Twitter app, that it did work. But that was, again, probably a year ago, and I haven't really messed with it much. I don't do a lot of Twittering on my iPhone, although that may change in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. But I don't know. I kind of like the Boxcar thing. I'm trying the Echophon Pro, which was 99 cents last week. Don't know if it's still that or not, but anyway.
Oh, I got to get out of my YouTube page. Yay, YouTube.
YouTube? Oh,
that was where the Siri song was.
Oh.
And it was trying to ask me if I liked or disliked it, and I could just click a button.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I didn't know YouTube did that. Everyone's getting a like button now. Facebook started it, and now everyone's doing it.
Hmm.
Anyway, more about the iPhone.
I guess YouTube would probably be a plus one since they are owned by Google.
Yeah, probably. Hmm. No, but it says, I like this button, or I dislike this button.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So, more general iPhone 4S statistics.
Yes, more into the mobile world. Apple had its earnings call yesterday, and supposedly they were disappointed a little bit because they only had a revenue of $108 billion and a general earnings growth of $26 billion for the year. Doesn't seem like it would be that disappointing, seeing as how they sold 4 million.
M-I-L-L-I-O-N.
Yes, in 3 days of sales for the iPhone 4S, which trumps the iPhone 4 by 1.7 million. Now, I kind of figure that's probably because there's a lot more people having the 3GS that wanted to upgrade, you know, and the iPhone 4 might have picked up a lot of people that were new to the iPhone. That's kind of my guess anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. iOS 5, which came out last week, is already on 33% of iOS devices.
That's pretty amazing.
And only 2% of that is the sales of iPhone 4S. So 31% of iOS devices that people already had owned are using iOS 5, which Apple says is about 25 million devices.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
And that's one of those things that kind of beats Android in just the terms of you can go and download it. You don't have to worry about whether AT&T or Verizon or now Sprint are going to actually push it down to you.
Mm-hmm.
You just connect it to your computer and poof. So that's kind of interesting. iPhone 4S has been received and people are really enjoying the camera and playing with Siri. Mostly all I hear with Siri is just the crazy jokes of, will you marry me and I'm horny.
But, I really do like I Need to Hide a Body. That is pretty good.
Yeah. What was it? One is also I'm drunk. And then it says, I have found 6 cab companies in your area. So that's kind of fun.
I haven't heard that people have actually made much use of it yet. I don't know that it's quite there yet in terms of its usefulness factor. But I think it's definitely something that can be developed. And it's just kind of new. And people have not yet had an opportunity to see what it can do for them.
Yeah.
So give it some time.
But what people are seeing that is a problem with their 4S is the yellowish tint in the screen. Which, if you remember, the iPhone 4 came out and there was also a yellowish tint. It's basically glue that glues the screen into the device itself. And after a little bit, that will evaporate and be gone. So,
I don't know why, but that disturbs me. It makes me think that my screen isn't stable and then it could just fall off because the glue isn't dry yet. Maybe the glue is perfectly sound. But the fact that it will just evaporate kind of leads me to believe it's not quite dry yet.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what it means for the most part.
Hmm.
But speaking of the iCloud, people have been having login issues, especially those trying to go from a Mobile Me account to iCloud. There's been some syncing issues and some confusion. Families are also having issues where I mean, like in our family, we have one credit card that we use for purchases and we share the same account for that purpose.
We have a family?
Well, I sort of claim you.
I guess I claim you too, but no kids.
No.
Just to clarify so everyone knows.
Yes. But there's families that have like mom, dad, two or three kids, and they all purchase using the same account.
Right.
Well, the issue is that all of the data is shared. Well, on iCloud, you can't really share data because an iCloud account can only apparently be associated with one iOS device per 90 days. So if you are actually using iCloud and you share an account for purchases, you will need to go to iTunes and actually create a new account.
Oh, groan.
So it's not that big of a process, you know, but then just make sure that you use the correct account for your purchases or things are not shareable across devices.
Yeah, I will have to do that as a Tech Access Daily tip. I have not yet created my iCloud setup. He keeps asking me every day if I've done it.
Yeah, and what's kind of funny is that it backs up contacts and bookmarks and things like that. But if you're using something like Google, because we use Google Calendar and Google Contacts for all of that.
It doesn't back that up?
It doesn't back that up. It only backs up what's on, like on the AT&T phone, you have a SIM. So it stores some contact information on the SIM. So when I went into iCloud, I only had like six contacts.
Yeah, I think that's about how many I have.
Because the phone, SIM, for some reason, did not want to save it to the actual Google Contacts page. So that's kind of an interesting little thing there. I guess you would have to completely embrace the Apple environment in order to fully use it.
Yeah.
Plus, I've been having issues with battery life. I don't know whether it's the Find My Friends app, constantly searching for where you are. There is some people that are thinking that the reminders might be causing it, because if you put things in there and say, when I'm at the grocery store, do this, and it will constantly be looking.
The GPS.
Yeah, it'll constantly be checking to see if you're near that.
Mm-hmm.
So today I tried a little experiment, part of the day anyway, and turned off everything iCloud, everything reminders, and in 6 hours, I had only used 20% of the battery.
While the phone was in continuous use.
Yeah, while the phone was in continuous use. And after that, I'm still waiting on 6 hours to get here so that I know what it has been doing. But so far, it's at 83% after 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good.
No, no.
So, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, are you having any issues with iOS?
Not really. I haven't touched the iCloud, so no. I'm not having any battery issues. I can't think of anything really
grave.
Any voiceover
things?
Nothing really grave. I was having a little trouble earlier with the going into the purchased items from in the App Store, trying to install things that were not on my iPhone. I was having a little trouble with voiceover getting to the places it needed to get to. But that was a common bug in iOS 4, and the only reason I never reported it was because I only noticed it once. I thought it was just me, and then now I'm going into iOS 5, and I'm still getting it. So I'm wondering if it's a recurring thing or what. I don't generally go into the purchased items that often.
Well, hopefully the button didn't disappear like it has on me a couple
times. No disappearing button. That was weird.
Yeah, but since I rebooted the phone like two different occasions, I haven't had that problem since. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you're having issues with your iPhone, maybe you should just reboot the device to see if that clears up anything.
Yeah, reboots are sometimes really amazing things.
Oh, and I did hear that in the calendar, it will actually speak the days of the week.
Yes, it does. When you are on the app screen, I mean the home screen, and you go to the word calendar, it speaks the date. In other words, it doesn't just say calendar like it used to. It says calendar, October 19th, 2011.
And if you actually go into the month view, it supposedly will speak the days of the month. Like
yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think it does.
Which before said nothing. No events, I think.
Yeah, it said no events on every day, and it was very irritating.
Yeah.
You had to kind of know what day you had an event on.
Luckily, they had at least one tester.
Yes, luckily they did. Yeah.
In other news, as we quickly get away from that topic to avoid a rant or an annoyance, AT&T evidently is not offering the $5 texting plan for 200 messages per month on the iPhone 4S.
Oh, no.
I don't understand. But
I'm not getting it either.
But it was back in August, I think it was, that they were saying that they might not be offering the $5 plan. Which
at all.
Yeah, that's what we use.
Yeah, yeah.
So if that's the case, most likely I'll be getting rid of texting.
Well, we only text each other. Well, I mean, you get texts for work, though. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You
but I can be like, I can pretend I'm one of those 60-year-old people that I work with that really only use a feature phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have
I don't know
some
how far that
some...
will get you if everyone communicates by text message.
Well, the primary people, but they'll learn really quickly when you don't respond, I guess. I don't know.
Not good, dear. Not good. Mm. Well, anyway, we'll see what they do with that because yeah. we aren't even clear whether it's going to apply to new customers only or customers that already have existing contracts.
Yeah, the guesstimate is that it's new customers, but that has not been confirmed by AT&T spokespeople.
Yes.
T-Mobile, in the competitive world, has started a pay-per-day or pay-per-month plan that you can actually get.
Yeah. This
pretty
is,
inexpensive.
Yeah. Pay-per-day is kind of interesting. If you want just talking and texting, it's $1 per day and 10 cents a minute for each call.
Yeah. And for $2 a day, you can get unlimited talk, text, and 2G data. Which will slow down after 2 gigabytes of data.
Yeah.
And for $3, you can get unlimited talk, text, data, and 200 megabytes will be at their high speed.
Yeah.
As opposed to 2G service.
And it will slow down, of course, after that.
Yeah, which is their kind of thing that you keep seeing on those commercials.
Throttling.
Yeah, and they also announced that they're going to have a $60 a month plan, which is 2 gigabytes of data, unlimited talk and text that you can get without having a contract or anything. I guess they're kind of going after the Walmart shoppers or
yeah, well, that's
the parents
what,
that don't use phones.
Well, T-Mobile and Walmart have teamed up to offer the cell phones.
Yeah.
So that's probably where they're going with that. Now, it'll be interesting to see with the merger with AT&T if these plans are going to continue or not.
Yeah, that's kind of the question that's burning in people's minds with that merger pending. But, yeah, $1 and $2. I mean, if you had a cell phone and you didn't use it except for 2-3 times a month, yeah, mm-hmm. this might be the way to go. That way,
right.
you know, you're traveling or something and you need to go for a day. You
right.
could use it in case of an emergency, I guess.
And I'm thinking of people who don't have a lot of money to throw around and spend on a huge, expensive cell phone plan. This might be the way to go, you know, for that way, too.
Yeah, because you could technically get unlimited talk, text, and 2G data service for $12 for 6 days if you needed it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not bad.
Mm-mm.
But in bad news, BlackBerry last week did have a service outage
yes.
In the European countries.
And we talked about that.
Which then caused problems in the U.S. and Canada mm-hmm. once it came back online because of the backlog of data that was trying to come through. Well, they have greatly apologized and hope that you will stay and trust in their company. And to help out, we're going to give you $100 worth of free applications from BlackBerry Store.
BlackBerry?
Yeah, BlackBerry Store.
To everybody?
Everybody that has a BlackBerry.
Wow.
I guess. That's kind of the way it read. And they're also going to give a free month of technical support to enterprise customers.
Oh.
Now, the crazy thing is they're going to give business customers things like Sims 3, iSpeech Translator Pro, and Shazam Encore to
that didn't
identify
make
music.
Much sense for a business class customer.
Yeah, that kind of makes me think that BlackBerry doesn't have that much going for it.
iSpeech Translate could make some sense if you were sort of a corporation that was had an international audience. But Shazam Encore? Eh, I don't know.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and two, BlackBerry is also kind of on death watch because mm-hmm. of the outage and people being frustrated with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're kind of losing more and more market share. The only thing they have are businesses that are pretty much using them.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think they're pretty popular with teenagers because of the
That's
keyboard.
Just odd to me. Yeah. Yeah. Seems that way.
But now we can head over into a little accessibility news.
A little news is the word. This the California Southern University at Northridge, otherwise known as CSUN. It's actually an institution, folks, not just a conference.
It's actually nighttime and kind of cloudy, so I don't see any sun.
Is going to be getting a $20 million grant. They have a center for hearing impaired and hearing impaired studies there. Not like a school for the hearing impaired, but they have, I guess it's sort of their specialization. They have a good higher education, good facilities for hearing impaired students to go to CSUN and get the help that they need, with their disability. And so they have been given a grant through some federal funding to help do some research into the ways in which post-secondary education can be improved for those people who are hearing impaired or deaf. And they're going to be partnering with several other organizations, research institutions, and universities throughout the country. And they will receive $4 million a year over the next 5 years to put towards this research and improving their own facilities, I think.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good deal.
Definitely.
Good for them. The 3Play Corporation, which is involved in closed captioning, and the Echo Media Service, which is involved in uploading lectures at colleges and universities.
Also known as Echo 360.
Yeah, Echo 360. They're going to form a partnership regarding closed captioning of lectures. So what's going to end up happening is a lecture that a professor gives is going to be uploaded and appropriately tagged to Echo 360's server. If it's tagged for closed captioning, media 3Play Media will create a transcript of it, and then it will be put back. That transcript will be put on the Echo 360 server, and all of these lectures will be searchable and easily navigable, whether by categories or by actual search term. So what's not clear from the article that I read is which universities this applies to. I guess universities that use this system are going to be affected by this. They're placing a general emphasis on making sure that these are 504 compliant. So I guess it's only universities here in the U.S. that it's going to apply to, but I'm not sure which ones.
Yeah, so they're going to kind of use the technology like YouTube and sort of do it on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that should definitely help out.
Mm-hmm.
And with advancements like Siri, because I've seen a lot of demonstrations of Siri doing like the Dragon Naturally Speaking stuff, and it's been pretty accurate with varying dialects of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of professors probably talk in quite a bit.
Yeah, well, what I'm understanding is it's not doing it as the professor is talking, it's doing it after the fact.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it might not just be text-to-speech. They may have like a team of staff members who go through and proofread too, since it's being done after the fact.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about that.
That's probably the most efficient way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vinux, a brand of Linux specifically designed for visually impaired users, is no longer being developed.
Yes. The developer, like the Quitter developer, is stepping down for personal and family issues of a severe nature.
Yeah. So,
Bongo.
Yes.
Bongo. Bobo's a monkey, I think.
Bobo's a monkey, you're right.
Yeah.
Dr. Bongo is no longer developing the Vinux platform. So, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, and Vinux is the Linux version that is actually distributed with accessible technology in it, screen magnifiers and speech output.
Right.
As well as, I believe, a Braille interface.
Emulator,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, don't know what that's going to do, but Linux does have a wide-ranging developer community, and hopefully somebody will pick that up.
Yeah, and I think there are other variants as well that are similar.
Yeah.
So hopefully someone will pick the best of all the worlds and put it together in a new form, hopefully.
Speaking of the best of all worlds, you can now get 50 gigabytes of free online storage from a Dropbox competitor.
Now, from now through the beginning of December, is it what, December 5th or something?
Something like that, yes.
They are offering free 50 gigabyte storage accounts, cloud storage. It is Boxnet, BOX.net.
And it works a lot like Dropbox. It has an iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
You can create.
Which is accessible.
You can create an account using the iPhone app that is free. And once you sign up and get all logged in, it will say, congratulations, you just got 50 gigabytes of free space for life.
Yeah. And so the key to our talk now is we've gotten our free space, 50 gigs each. Yay. But I haven't actually tested the app or the website for accessibility yet. I wanted my space first.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we didn't miss out on that.
Yeah, so I will be doing a tip later on this service and sort of vetting it for accessibility for everyone who's interested. But you might as well go ahead and get your 50 gig.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to sign up and get it.
I mean, it's not
going to
hurt it. It's just going to sit there. So.
And they do have integration with some applications like Documents to Go, I think was one of the ones that mm-hmm. I recognized. More applications coming, and you can still do the sharing of information, giving permissions to different collaborators. So that is definitely
a
worthwhile thing. I created like a folder using the online web page and everything seemed to work just like it. And then you go into mm-hmm. the iPhone app and click refresh and poof, there
it was.
Is.
There. Yeah, I've only been able to purchase the storage. I haven't yet tried to use
it. We only did it like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, we really prepared for this podcast, let me tell you.
See, I can use it because I'm the visually impaired one in the room.
Yes. The sighted visually impaired.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
people forget.
Why is that so hard?
And I do not use Quitter.
Oh, why? Again, why is this so hard?
I do not know, but I will say that Dropbox just got a grant for $250
million. They already know how they're going to use this millions of dollars. It was from some Series B financing that they did. Wow, how illuminating is that? But it's venture funding, and they're going to use it to hire new staff, put in some new functionality, and do some more testing, and basically create a new and better service.
Maybe they'll actually improve their accessibility of the preferences that everybody complains
about. Yes, I hope so. Speaking of crazy ideas, well, we weren't speaking of crazy ideas until now.
We're close to it.
We're getting crazier. McDonald's. The hamburger chain that we all know and love is putting in a television station, MCTV. They're starting this in California to see how it works out. Of course, California. What they're going to do is they're going to put two big screen TVs in each restaurant. There's going to be audio input, audio feedback through speakers throughout the restaurant. There will be quiet zones for those who do not want to sit and watch television.
Wait a minute. How are you going to have quiet zones for people when the place is the size of a Cracker Box?
I don't know. I'm just going through what the article said. Anyway, content-wise, it's going to be local content. I guess some local news, fashions, current trends, current community news stories, and McDonald's-related information of all sorts.
Yeah, they want to try and be able to build their image up as far as their nutrition and kids' meals and all this kind of stuff. I believe Mark Burnett, who does the Survivor and other reality shows, I believe he's involved with
yes,
the venture.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. And
along with other producers and
sounds
such.
Sounds crazy to me, but hey.
Maybe they'll just put that to all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
On a sesame seed bun?
Yeah, commercial on constant rotation because they have no content.
Maybe so. I've never had one of those.
No.
At some point, I'll have one, just to have one.
You've had a Big Mac.
Uh-uh.
No?
Nope, never.
Hmm.
Never, ever.
Where did your parents take you to eat as a kid?
Well, I always was into the quarter pounders.
Oh.
That was my thing. I had to have my quarter pounder and my fries.
Well, if you had a Whopper, it's the same thing pretty much, except for it's got a sesame seed bun instead of a plain bun.
And apparently it has this special sauce that everyone talks about.
It's Thousand Island.
Oh. Well, then I guess it's not so special.
And you can get it with or without a pickle.
Oh, that's right. Let's not forget the pickle.
Egad.
Anyway, no, I've never had one. So I am glad that they're going to do this in a trial run first because this really seems silly. Really.
What were you thinking?
Speaking of silly and somewhat disturbing and definitely crazy,
it fits in with kind of the warnings.
Yeah, There's a guy who, people have been using this Find My Friends app that's in iOS 5 now. And there's a guy who used this app to track his wife because he did not trust her with regard to her loyalty and fidelity in their marriage.
Yes, an unnamed source.
An unnamed source, yeah. And so he tracked her with this and found her. She said she was going to her friend in some place, and she ended up at her lover's place. He tracked her.
But it's kind of easy to do. You click on a screen and say find, and poof, there you are.
But apparently the Find My Friends app has some other detail in it, and he was able to, like, see her text messages and stuff. I didn't quite understand this.
That, I believe, is one of those, might be one of those things like you're sharing the account type thing.
Yeah, maybe so.
And messages will come across. Not sure exactly. It didn't have a whole lot of details on it, but that was one of the stories that we tweeted that got a lot of retweets.
And
everybody was just
amazed. It seemed like the way in which the article was written, he may have been doing some other illegal things, and they didn't really want to talk about it too much.
Yeah.
Stalking her and stuff. But again, I don't know. Apparently, there was a... Did you see transcripts of the text messages?
It was kind of like
that article didn't have it in it, the one that we bookmarked, but
yeah, there is a picture of some text messages, and it's kind of along the lines of, hey, where you at? What are you doing? I don't see you. You're not responding to my text messages, this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, do I have that message sitting here? Oh, here you go. Going to bed. You still with Bridget? Hello? Still there? Where are you that you can't reply? You okay? Then there's a message from, I guess, her saying, in cab finally. Was hard to find stupid cab. Hate meatpacking.
Yeah, the article that I read referenced meatpacking too, and we're not really sure why.
Yeah, apparently... Well, the joke in the article was that his wife was more of an uptown girl,
yes,
and not really into the meat packing section, which I guess means like factory district.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of funny.
Yeah, amusing and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And this crazy mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
113.
To find out more information about the stories we considered and talked about during this episode, visit delicious.com/techaccess/113. If you'd like to make any suggestions, comments, criticisms, requests, etc., email us at techaccessweekly@gmail.com, or you can call 260-227-5829.
Yeah, nobody ever uses that.
No one ever does.
They don't want their voice heard.
I guess not.
I guess they're afraid they'll be mocked and criticized because of their voice.
We're afraid we'll be mocked and criticized because of our voices, and I'm amazed that no one has done that yet.
I know.
It's
a bizarre thing.
We're opening ourselves up to it now, but oh well. And if you would like to tune in to The Melting Pot on Mushroom FM on Sunday evenings, you can do so by going to mushroomfm.com at 7 p.m. Eastern every Sunday evening. This Sunday, we are finishing a countdown of the worst songs of the 1990s. So if you know of any that you'd like me to play, send your requests in to aaron@mushroomfm.com. So, with all that said,
we will stop the rambling that I think we kind of avoided this time.
Not really. It's still long.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay, anyway, we're going to simply say...
Bye-bye.
Bye.